Rabbit Prevents Chapter 1 Growing Up at Jigalong. Jigalong was a long way from anywhere, right out in the desert. The early years, it was just a small depot for the white men who worked on the rabbit proof fence. They rode on horses up and down the fence, clearing away branches of trees and dead animals, and mending holes made by fire or storms or kangaroos. There was also a government store at Jigalong, which gave out free food, clothing and blankets to the local people. And in the year, the Mardo people decided that Jigalong would be a good place for them to stay. It became a new home, a sitting down place for their people. Molly grew up at Jigalong. Among her people, the Mardu, her mother, Maudu, was a young Mardu woman who used to work as a domestic servant for the superintendent at the depot. Her father was Thomas, an Englishman who worked as an inspector of the rabbit-proof fence. He called the baby Molly after his sister and often brought her presents of clothing and dresses. But after a few years, his work on the fence finished and he moved on. Molly was a pretty child, but while she was still quite young, she already knew she was different because her skin color was not as dark as the other Mardu children's. "You're not Mardu. You're not Wungabola," the children used to shout at her. "You're nothing. You're just a mongrel dog." Molly used to throw stones at them or chase them with a stick, but the words still hurt her. So she was very pleased one day when her mother said, "I got some news for you. Two of your aunties have had babies, little girls, and they are both muda mudas. Like you, Molly. They coming to Jigalongs?" asked Molly, very excited. "Yes, very soon," said Mom. "What are their names?" Molly asked. "Gracie and Daisy. They are both younger than you, but they'll be nice friends for you." Molly was very happy. "I got two sisters," she cried. "I got two sisters coming to Jigalong." And so it was Molly, Gracie, Daisy grew up in and around Jigalong among their big Aboriginal family of mothers and aunties and uncle and grannies. They became as close as sisters, always together, living, sleeping, playing, walking in the bush, hunting for bush tucker. The white man called these children half-castes, children of Aboriginal mothers and white fathers. All over the country, more and more half-caste children were being born, and the government was worried. Where did these children belong? To their black Aboriginal families or to the white man's world? The government decided that these children should go to school, where they would learn how to become domestic servants and farm workers. Two schools were started, one in the southwest and other near Perth, called the Moo River. Native Aboriginal children all over Western Australia were taken away from their families and sent to these schools, so learn how to live like the white man. The years passed, and the seasons came and went. Jigalong was a long way from anywhere, but government officers rode all over the country looking for part Aboriginal children. The arm of the law was long and reached even to Jigalong. Notes were kept at the depots and the stations. Reports and letters were written, orders were given. To Mr. A. O. Neville, Chief Protector of Aborigines. The half-caste girls at Jigalong have a hard time with the other Aboriginal children here, who say unkind things about them. The girls need a better chance in life than they can get out here in the bush. To Mr. A.O., Chief Protector of Aboriginals, there are three half-caste girls at Jigalong. Molly, 14 years, Gracie, 10 years, and Daisy, about 8 years. I think you should do something about them as they are running wild at Jigalong Depot. Find the three half-caste girls, Molly, Gracie, and Daisy, at Jigalong and bring them in. They will be sent to the Moore River Native Settlements. Send them down by ship to Freeman, and an officer will meet them there.